Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Empire State Reptiles Live. My name is Chris, and I am your host of this beautiful show on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. For some of us, and evening for others. So today, we do have Robin Markland, as you will know from the show title, from THG Heat, from The Reptile Report, and from, of course, Ship Your Reptiles. This guy is extraordinary. He basically is in all aspects of the reptile community. He is what makes the reptile community go around. He's like the Dunkin' Donuts of America. Yeah. The reptile community runs on Ship Your Reptiles and Robin Markland and Chad Brown. You all know it. All right, here he is, Mr. Robin Markland.
Robin, hey, Christian, how are you doing?
Doing well.
I'm here.
So, would you start off by telling us what you're up to, what you do?
Well, after that mighty introduction there, it's a little bit hard to live up to, but I'll do my best. In 2016, I run three different companies with my partner, Chad Brown. You mentioned them. It's Ship Your Reptiles, The Reptile Report, and THG Heat. This is actually, we're coming up on 25 years in the reptile industry. We were a live reptile breeder for about 20 years as Pro Exotics. We started back in the very early 1990s doing live breeding and, you know, the livestock side of things. We had kind of a life-changing event in 2011 that forcefully redirected our focus. And so now we're on the service side with Ship Your Reptiles, the informational side with the Reptile Report. And the THG Heat Company, it's not really super well known, but we do heat tape. A radiant heat tape that goes, you know, underneath cages and racks and comes in different widths. It's very popular in the industry. We do egg incubation trays. So THG Heat does heat-related products, just a small selection of stuff there. Mm-hmm. My main focus every day is Ship Your Reptiles and the Reptile Report itself.
So why did you decide to create Ship Your Reptiles?
You know what? You were just breaking up. Can you repeat the question there?
Oh, why did you create Ship Your Reptiles?
You know, we created it back in 2009, and I had been thinking about the idea for a few years. Wasn't sure exactly how to execute it. As a reptile breeder with Pro Exotics, we bred, you know, a few thousand animals every year, and sold them online and by mail order and shipped them all around the country. And I thought, with the volume of animals I'm shipping, I'm getting a certain discount from, you know, FedEx. And I thought, boy, it'd be nice to be able to share that discount with other folks that don't ship as much as we do. And we didn't, you know, we weren't world champion shippers at the time, but we probably did $25,000 a year in shipping at the time, which I thought was pretty solid. And it gave us a nice discount. And so I started thinking about how to execute that kind of share that kind of a group aspect so I could share the discount with other folks. And at the time, I was thinking, really was just focusing on my close friends and folks in the business that I directly worked with. I didn't think about a mass effort. But when I pitched the idea to my partner, Chad, he was like, well, you know, shoot, why don't we do a website and make it available to anybody. And I thought, well, okay, that's a better idea than what I had. So we approached, you know, the shipping companies and discussed it. It's definitely outside of the box as to what they normally do. You're normally not allowed to share your discount with anybody. They frown upon third-party shipping. So that raised some kind of challenges on the shipping side. But because we're in the reptile industry, the stuff that we're shipping, live reptiles, live snakes and lizards and geckos and frogs and chameleons, It's definitely an odd type of product compared to most folks that are shipping goods and services. So this niche aspect opened the door to a company like FedEx being willing to work with us, because you can't just take a corn snake into the FedEx office and say, you know, hey, would you ship this out for me? You can do that with a book or a computer or, you know, a toy or a gift, but a live snake is much more challenging packaging-wise and temperature-wise and stuff. So because we would bring an added value to the situation where we would provide packaging, provide temperature guidelines, provide heat packs when they're needed, and kind of service that whole special shipping need, they gave us exceptions on the account to allow us to do things like share the rate and do a third-party aspect. So we got after it, you know, in 2009 we launched ShipYourReptiles.com. And it's been going really strong. We grow every single year. It's doing very well. We probably ship out, well, I know that we ship out over 1,200 packages a week through the service. And it's all around the country. And it's great because we service all kinds of different folks. We don't just do large reptile breeders. We do small hobbyist breeders. We do just pure hobbyists. We help folks relocate with their pets. If they're moving from Georgia to Washington State and they have lizards or leopard geckos or snakes and they need to figure out, you know, is it going to be a 3-day or 4-day drive? That's not that great for the animals. What's a better way to transport them? They come to Ship Your Reptiles and we provide, you know, the packaging and the support to get the animals safely overnighted to the destination. A lot of military families use us when they get relocated, because they often get relocated. And reptiles are a very popular pet in the military world because they're less maintenance than, you know, dogs and cats and such. So lizards and things like that are really popular. And when those folks get relocated, we also help provide that packaging and the service and the knowledge and most significantly the confidence, to give people the confidence that, hey, we can ship your animals overnight and they're going to be safe. You know, because these are people's pets and they really have a vested relationship with them. They don't want anything to go wrong. And so, you know, we work hard to give people peace of mind and be able to transport the animals overnight. Like I said, it's just grown year to year. You know, we're well over 50,000 packages a year. And now we're doing Ship Your Aquatics as well. So the same type of service on the aquatics industry for folks that do corals and aquatic animals and stuff. Same basic idea. And there's a whole series of trade shows and industry that kind of mirrors on the reptile side what we do with reptiles. Same thing happens in aquatics. So between those two, it keeps me awfully busy. And then I still try and focus on the reptile report as well. So it's a busy days around here.
All right. Now, guys, I just want to apologize for all technical difficulties and kind of server glitches that we've been having recently. Blog Talk Radio is actually still recovering from a service hack that they endured 2 weeks ago, so they are still running on their backup servers. But I can assure you, by the end of this month, we will be back to normal, and we should have no more technical difficulties. So if you guys are ready to call in, you know the number, 713-955-0793. Once again, that is 713-955-0793 to ask Robin any questions that you might have. Now, let's turn over to the reptile report. Now, man, I can't tell you about the reptile report. I can spend hours and hours on the reptile report, not even break a part of the ice of that. So how did that come to be?
That was that kind of came about in a similar fashion. I had this idea of, wouldn't it be great if we had a service that helped me stay plugged into all different aspects of the reptile world? You know, so much of the reptile world today exists online, in forums and communities and social media platforms, you know, Facebook and Instagram and everything else. And it just becomes difficult to try and keep up with everything all at the same time. And, of course, there's so many species. There's a whole side of the industry that's focused on frogs, and there's a whole bunch of turtle nuts out there that are obsessed and passionate about turtles and tortoises. And then there's the spider folks. And, of course, there's all kinds of different segments of snake folks, colubrids, venomous stuff, ball pythons, of course, boas. And it just becomes so vast, it's hard to kind of keep track of everything. So I thought, well, what if we had a staff of people that specialized on pulling the most interesting content and putting it into one place? That would make it easier to stay current. And again, I chatted it over with my partner, Chad, and we brainstormed it a little bit, and we basically came up with what the idea was for the Reptile Report, which would be a website at thereptilereport.com where we could put all of this material and information into a single feed. And then we started a Facebook page as well because, you know, in 2012, that was the hot thing to do at the time. There are newer social media platforms these days, but Facebook, I think, is still the monster in the reptile world. And so, you know, I got a staff. I don't do any of this stuff all by myself. We have a great staff of folks that help us out, whether it's on the Ship Your Reptile side or the Reptile Report side. And they all kind of focus on their daily duties of, you know, getting the best information, best photos, best videos, breeder news, breeder updates, reptile show updates, and all put it into a feed at the site itself and, again, on the Facebook page. And it's worked out really well. I think it's an amazing site. I'd love to see the content. And, you know, in 2016 now, I don't know that there's a larger reptile page than ours. You know, I think we were creeping up on 300,000 likes. But more importantly, the engagement we get on the Facebook page in particular, we average, you know, probably 3 million people a week that we reach, which is really kind of a funny number to try to bend your mind around. Last week we hit 10 million people last week. So, you know, it fluctuates according to what the content is, if something gets real hot or goes a little bit viral or something like that. But to be able to reach that many people in a week is, again, a little bit mind-melting. But that's pretty cool, and it's neat to interact with that audience there at the Facebook page and on the website itself. And I think it's a super valuable site for the business. We also do, you know, a Best of the Year awards each year and highlight great breeders, great photographers, conservation work, educational work. So it gives us a chance to kind of highlight, you know, great people doing great work, and that is that's a really great aspect of the site as well.
Now, how do you feel social media has impacted? Has social media impacted the Reptile Report at all, or do they play hand in hand, or?
Sure. Well, you know, hand in hand would imply that there's some cooperation there, and there is cooperation. But it's really more of platforms like Facebook being a big, giant gorilla, and we're just trying to stay in its good graces. We're not partners with Facebook by any means. Anything they decide to do, they do. And then you can either read and react accordingly, or you can get squashed like a little tiny bug that you are. So we have to constantly try and evolve and stay current with what Facebook does and what it wants when it changes its algorithms and how to reach the audience. And they don't really give any kind of thought as to what we need or want. So I wouldn't really call it a partnership, but we're very sensitive to changes that happen on Facebook because it you know, significantly affects us. As far as the industry in general, you know, again, I have a love-hate relationship with Facebook. Overall, I think it's good for the industry and the way it ties everybody together and communication's easy. But at the same time, I think it's bad for the industry because it has driven a lot of good folks out of business. You know, if you go back to the early 2000s or even 2005, 10 years ago, forums and online communities were really strong and really good. And I thought they brought a lot of positive aspects to the business, and they were thriving. And nowadays, they're really struggling because Facebook eats up all of that bandwidth and it eats up all of that attention. But Facebook doesn't, to me, it doesn't give the depth of conversation that the forums used to have. There's not as much breeding discussion. There's not enough, not as much philosophy and theory about, hey, I'm working with this one particular species of Mandarin rat snakes, and I'm finding them difficult to breed. How can I approach it? How can I change my temperatures? How can I change my hydration levels or my setups or my hide spots or whatever? Back in the day, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we used to have these long, detailed conversations online about how do we solve this problem. And today on Facebook, those conversations don't happen nearly as much nor as in depth because, to simplify it, it's more just a series of, you know, pictures of kitty cats. And
yeah.
I don't think that actually adds strong value. It's, you know, entertaining to see the latest meme of something, but I think the value is not there as much. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people driven out of the business because they can't keep up with social media platforms, or it's just not a good fit for them, and that's kind of discouraging. So, yeah, there's definitely a love and hate relationship with it. Like I said, for us, we constantly have to try and evolve our approach and our strategy and our content that we're posting to try and keep up with what Facebook wants. And even though I think most of the reptile world exists on Facebook. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, we actually do have a caller that's been waiting for quite some time now, so I'm going to go ahead and go to the 845 caller on the line. I'm not sure what area that is, but 845, you're on the line. All right, it seems to me that you're actually calling from the phone that you're recording, well, listening to the show from, so go ahead and press pause and give us a call back once that is off. All right, back to Robin. So where do you see yourself in, let's say, 10 years?
10 years? Boy, nobody's asked me that question for a long time. 10 years, I think that Shippy Reptiles will continue to be a strong company and the industry leader still. I think Shippy Aquatics is going to be a significant player in the aquatics world. I always see that there's a need for those things. On the social media side, boy, I don't have a clue. That's kind of where I was going next in that long, drawn-out story, is Facebook's kind of where everything's happening now, but, actually, it's where everything was happening 2 years ago. Now everything is more Snapchat and even Instagram is getting kind of tired now, and things are moving on. Yeah. And it just moves so quickly, it's hard to keep up. So to try and predict where social media or the online reptile world is going to be in 10 years, that's pretty difficult. All I'm going to do is try and read and react. We're going to do the best that we can. sometimes you can be successful. It takes a lot of hard work. But even after you work hard, sometimes you're not successful. You know, a couple months ago, we shut down the classified section of the Reptile Report. And we spent a ton of money and time. We spent years and well over $100,000 to make custom software to make a classifieds that was to fit for today so that people could easily buy and sell animals. And you know what? Once we got it launched and got going, it did all right. But it's just not really relevant in 2016. You know, a lot of sales happen on Facebook, and a lot of sales happen on the social media platforms. And a classifieds, it just happens that we launched it in a cruddy time where it just wasn't relevant anymore. So even though we spent a ton of time and a ton of money and a ton of staff that put a lot of time into it, I ended up shutting it down because I just didn't think it mattered. And it wasn't making the difference that I thought it needed to. And so that's it bothers me that it didn't work. I'm bummed out because I thought it was really cool. But it doesn't bother me to talk about it as a failure because it was a swing and a miss for sure. It was a failure to try and get a classified site rolling in this day and age. Just doesn't matter anymore. So what happens in 10 years? I don't know. It's interesting. I think people still buy and sell reptiles. And I think people still breed reptiles, although I'm not going to be breeding reptiles. I know that. I've I had decades of that, and I'm good with that. We bred all kinds of species. I think Chad counted it up. We bred more than 100 different species, and I'm cool with that. We had a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but I think my days of cleaning hundreds and hundreds of cases of poop are behind me, and I'm good with that. Now I can just keep a couple cool animals just for the sake of keeping them. I don't have to worry about breeding them or cycling them or are these eggs going to hatch or what's the value going to be. I don't care about any of that stuff anymore for my animals. It's just for the pure pleasure of doing it. But there will still be people breeding ball pythons, still going to be people breeding chameleons and geckos and all kinds of amazing animals, and they're still going to need to ship it. So I'm confident Ship Your Reptiles will be great. THG company, you know, hey, we'll still sell heat tape. People still need to heat cages and do that. Facebook's not going to solve that problem, so we'll still do that. But like where Reptile Report goes, I don't know. I always thought Facebook would maybe die off, like Friendster or MySpace. You know, they kind of run their course 3-4 years and then they're done. But yeah, they've really positioned themselves well, and they've created kind of this, you know, this huge gorilla. And I saw, you know, if you guys are, you know, plugged in recently, they've now added stories to Instagram, their other platform, to make it more like Snapchat. So they're going to take a run at, you know, the current hot thing that my teenage nephew does that I have no idea how he uses Snapchat or how it works. I can't even get off the home screen on the dumb thing. But, you know, so Facebook continues to make moves that keeps them relevant. I would be surprised if they were still the gorilla 10 years from now. But who knows what it's going to be by that point. What do you have thoughts on where reptile social media might be in 10 years?
Well, most of the business, in my opinion, is actually conducted on Facebook, like you just said. Now, Instagram was one of Facebook's competitors, reptile community-wise, but Instagram was a very tight-knit community, and it was very hard after it became that tight-knit community for people to actually integrate into that community. So I just feel that Facebook is more open than Instagram is, so I feel that Facebook will remain one of the so-called gorillas that you do call it, especially with Facebook Live, and it's easier to hold auctions and let people see your reptiles and in real time, actually.
Yeah.
So
Facebook has
very much almost catered indirectly to the reptile community. So I feel Facebook will be there for quite a while, and I don't think it's going away anywhere.
But you don't think in 5 years, that's a whole new generation of users. Somebody doesn't come along and create a new hotter site called popsicle.com or something that's the new place, and Facebook's just going to be filled with a bunch of grandma and grandpa folks, and all the young folks are going to be moved to somewhere else?
I mean, it's definitely possible that Facebook can become another MySpace. But,
right.
I mean, popsicle.com, I mean, that sounds really, really interesting. I mean, sell your reptiles at popsicle.com. I mean, I would totally buy my reptiles.
See, I'm pretty sure popsicle.com is probably already taken, but it just came off the top of my head. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to predict what's hot 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. I think it's going to be really cool and interesting. I hope somebody's breeding Boland's pythons on the regular by 10 years from now. That'd be awesome. That's my single favorite snake species. Yeah, I'd like to get a trip to Australia in by 10 years from now. That'd be rad.
Awesome.
But
you know
what?
How much
what's that?
You even know how much they're going for? Kind of curious.
Boland's pythons?
Yes.
Well, you know, there's a guy named Frederick in Sweden, I believe he is, that bred them last year, and he sent 7 or 8 babies, off the top of my head, over here to the U.S. to be sold. And I want to say they sold in the $8,000 range, maybe.
Wow.
$7,000 or $8,000 a piece, probably.
Wow. Now, talking about price tags, I saw that you do have a very, very unique animal. You have a beaded lizard, is that correct?
I do. I have the world's largest beaded lizard.
Wow, so how did you come across that?
Well, his name is Fernando. He's a beaded lizard that I got from Bob Applegate last year. And Fernando is the oldest beaded lizard in captivity, and the largest. And I measured him the other day. He was 44 inches long, which is a good size. I mean, that's huge for beaded lizards, but
yeah.
It's, you know, it's definitely a good sized lizard. I saw him over at Bob's place years ago. He's pretty famous. He's been in books and different things. And Bob's had him since the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And he got, his name is Fernando, and he got Fernando when he was a young adult. So he was already of age when Bob got a hold of him. And he's just had him that long. And Bob's been around forever. He's one of the pioneers of the business. But he's retiring and moving off his collection. And we've worked with beadeds and gilas over the years when we were doing our live stuff. And I think that they're just fascinating animals, really neat animals. They are venomous, so there is some danger there, but it's not an aggressive type species. It's not like a viper or something that's going to reach out and bite you and then you're going to take three steps and fall over dead. It's a pretty typical lizard. And they tame down really well, which is not to say that, you know, aren't cautious around them. But, yeah, it's not like a high danger type of venomous animal. But super durable, really prehistoric looking. And then, you know, Fernando in particular, he's just a giant beaded lizard. So I knew Bob was moving out his collection. I said, hey, boy, I'd love to have Fernando. Not so I could breed him. Not so I could resell him. I said, I just want to have that animal just to see it and watch it and observe it and take care of him for all the days of his life. That'd be great. And it worked out. Bob gave me an opportunity to get him, and I did. I thought how amazing it is to have a lizard that's over 50 years old, number one.
Yeah.
That's incredible. He's older than I am.
Yeah.
And we don't know how long beaded lizards live. You know, if you asked folks in the 70s, they might have said 10 years because that's, you know, as long as people would keep them alive. But as husbandry gets better and as knowledge gets better, stuff like monitor lizards and beaded lizards, the Gila monsters, we're just now really, you know, past 20 years, we're trying to figure out how to really take care of them well. So we could really see that, you know, I don't know if they live 75 years or 100 years, but I want to find out. And so we set up Fernando up in a nice cage and gave him some soil to dig around in. He burrows in it, and he mostly just chills out. That's kind of what beaded lizards do. But he's here in our office, and I'm super excited to have him. You know, he's not high maintenance. You feed him once a week. He poops once a week. All the staff really likes to go check in on him and stuff. So just a really fascinating lizard. And I've felt super lucky to get him from Bob because, like I said, he's a really unique animal. And just the idea of having a lizard that's, you know, 50-plus years old and has been in captivity for that long, I think that's a pretty awesome individual type species to work with. And I'm really excited to have him.
All right. Well, Robin, I think that's our time for today. I thank you so much.
We've been talking for like 10 minutes.
Oh, man, it's been almost...
Time flies?
We only have a minute and 30 seconds left.
Oh, goodness.
Hey.
All right.
Maybe you can come back on the show sometime.
I'd love to. It went by so fast. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on. Everybody, please give a virtual round of applause to Mr. Robin Marklin. Like I said, the reptile community runs on you, so stay fresh. All right, have a good evening. All right, guys. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in today. Next weekend, we do not have a show because, of course, I will be on vacation, as all of you guys know. So, actually, I have our lineup for the rest of August. And when we get back on August 20th, the first person on our show will be Mr. Chris Leone from Garden State Tortoise, followed by Holly's Homebred Reptiles. And on September 3rd, we have Ben from Art Geckos. Now, guys, I have some good news for you guys. If you go to www.EmpireStateReptilesLive, you will actually see a tab that says Empire State Reptiles Book Bag Giveaway. We are actually hosting our own book bag giveaway. So if you are in the Brooklyn Bed-Stuy area on August 28th, from the time 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. You can come on down and get your own free back-to-school book bag. Our book bags are loaded to the rim with anything you can imagine, pencils, composition notebooks, everything that you need to start your back-to-school time off well. Once again, I thank you all for tuning in, and till next time, my friends. Same time, same place. Blog Talk Radio, Saturday nights at 6:30 p.m., except next weekend because I won't be on vacation, like I said already. All right. Good night, and I love you all. Peace out.
Come on.